Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 207, God and Covenant Prosperity, Part 2. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on Sunday, August 1st, 2021, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So this morning, I want to continue on our message that we began last week. It was God and Covenant Prosperity. This is Part 2. The theme of covenant winds kind of blows through the Old and the New Testament, both. That God is a covenant-keeping God. So if you don't know what a covenant is really stronger than a contract. You know, I know that probably the closest thing we have to covenant now is marriage, but even so, in our time, in this time, a lot of people just treat it as a contract with some fine print at the bottom, and, you know, if it doesn't work out, you just, you have an out. But a covenant is stronger than an agreement. It's stronger than just a contract. A covenant is something that you vow in your heart not to break and to keep with another person, or in this case, with God, and God with us. And so that theme is all throughout the Old Testament. We spent quite a bit of time last week just talking about the roots of the covenant that God has with his people. His son Jesus, the Bible says, became a mediator of a new covenant, a better covenant that's established on better promises. And understanding this new covenant, it really will help you to activate your faith to receive the benefits of those better promises. I know everybody wants to, you know, they say, you know, the promises of God, they're mine, et cetera, et cetera. But it's one thing to say, it's another thing to actually live with the manifestation of those promises in your life. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, no eye has seen, and no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Isn't that amazing? You can't even imagine what God has prepared for you. So you know what that means? That means that you and I are missing out on a lot of stuff. There's a lot of areas of our life where God has a covenant with us, and he has made promises to us, but we've not actually seen the results of those promises come to pass. There are miracles waiting to happen, creative miracles, healing miracles, deliverance miracles waiting to happen that haven't been activated yet because we haven't touched it with faith, we haven't reached out in faith to receive it, or just because we were totally unaware that God wants to do this. So what this word says is you can't even imagine what God has prepared for you. In other words, in your biggest, wildest dream, you're still missing some things from God. So I don't know about you, but I kind of want to participate in some of those things that God has imagined for me, right? Yeah. You know, in Psalm 23, at the end of it, it says he prepares a table before us in front of our enemies. He anoints us with oil, and anoints us with oil. It's like the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and he makes our cup to run over and over. So what that means is that there's an overflow of blessing from God that's available to people if they'll understand the covenant that he has with them and enter into that covenant and begin to receive from the promises. So your heart should be reaching out for those things. You know, sometimes people think, well, you know, I don't really deserve to get any of that. You're right about that. You know, none of us deserve to get any of it. It was only by God's grace that Jesus went to the cross, paid for our sin, and made a way for us to be right with God. And when he did that, he opened to us the whole world of covenant. Because when you became a believer, you entered into that new covenant that Jesus mediated, the one that he was the agent for, the one that he was the intermediary for. You entered into that covenant, and that gives you covenant rights. But if you don't know what those rights are and don't know how to access those rights, you may go through your whole life and miss it. You may miss what God has for you. I know people who have walked in unforgiveness and they just didn't know that God would help them to forgive people. And they carried, you know, that unforgiveness and bitterness for many, many years. And finally, you know, somebody ministered to them and they got set free. But they could have had that the first day that they got saved. if somebody had just helped them and walked with them and talked to them about it. So that's just one example, but there are many things, you know, financial prosperity, spiritual well-being, growing in the things of God, all of those things, you know, walking in the miraculous, all of those things are available to you. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. You know, we don't even really need to think about the greater works. How about just doing the works that he did? Amen. I'm okay with doing the greater works, you know, if we can figure out what that is. But there isn't much greater than the things that Jesus did and demonstrated when he walked on the face of this earth. Let's just at least do those. Amen. And have them operational in our lives every day, every week, every month, every year. Just, you know, a growing testimony of what God will do for a person who yields himself to God or herself to God. Let's just be that kind of a testimony. Amen. So then that verse goes on from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I think this is verse 10. It says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Now there's something to meditate upon, because if it says that God has revealed these things to us by his Spirit, that means that that's past tense, right? God has revealed. He has already revealed. So if we're not seeing it, that means there's not any problem with the sending end. The problem is on the receiving end. So it says, the Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. So he even shows you the method to tap into that kind of revelation is through the Holy Spirit. So when the Spirit of God is operating on the inside of you, it begins to take a hold of the things that God has imagined for you, the things that he's revealed by his Spirit. His Holy Spirit begins to activate those in your heart. And then your mind begins to understand, at least to some degree, you know what God is doing, because you begin to receive that Spirit of wisdom and revelation. So in the authority studies that we're doing, one of the important things is that you learn to use the prayers that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3. Those prayers where he's asking for God to give to the church a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, this is what that is about. Because we can have a deeper walk with God, we can have a stronger walk with God, we can have stronger manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our life if we will have that spirit of wisdom and revelation operating in us. Because then you're no longer relegated just to seeing through your physical eyes and the things your five senses can perceive, but you're walking with spiritual eyes and you're beginning to see things as God sees them. Because his Holy Spirit is revealing those things to you in a special way that you can understand and that you can activate and that you can use as you minister to people, as you pray for people, as you bless people with the presence of God and with the presence of the Holy Spirit. So that was kind of a long introduction, so I hope I can make the rest of this a little bit shorter and easy. But last week we mentioned the scripture from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. It says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are like red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So he says, he's inviting you, he's inviting us to come and talk to him. Let's have this conversation. Let's reason together. And what he's talking about really is about covenant, because when he starts to talk about your sins becoming white as snow, or becoming like white like wool, what he's talking about is the new covenant that Jesus activated at the cross of Calvary. This is a prophetic word about what Jesus would do at the cross. So the important thing that I wanted you to see from that is God is inviting you. He said, you come, let's talk. God wants to have a conversation with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. That's the whole difference between Christianity and other and religions, is that it's all about relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And when you have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you have a connection with the God of the universe that created heaven and earth and everything in it. And that God wants to have that relationship with you. He activates that relationship with you through covenant, through what Jesus did at the cross, through what he did at Calvary, forgiving your sins, setting you free, and providing to you healing, blessing, deliverance, and every other kind of thing that you can imagine that salvation encompasses. Praise the Lord. So in Hebrews chapter 8 is where we stopped last week. It's Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7, and it's talking about the new covenant. It says, "For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, 'Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them up by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant. I disregarded them, says the Lord. I disregarded them, says the Lord, because they broke covenant. For this covenant I will make with the house of Israel in those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none of them his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." So that's the essence of the new covenant. It's amazing, amazing the provision of it. So from last week, from the old covenant, we learned there were conditions to be met. We learned that there were blessings that would come on you and overtake you if you obeyed the Lord your God. There were material and financial blessings and increase. There were blessings over your business, over your career, over your work. There were blessings over where you live. There are blessings over your family. There's blessings over this. There's blessings and special status with people. There's a special status that you have with God. There's protection from your enemies. There's blessing over your general well-being. And on it goes. If you read that in, you can find that in Deuteronomy chapter 28. The first 14 verses. So then it comes down to this, and you should make note of this. It says, you will always be on top and never at the bottom. That was one of God's promises if people would keep covenant with him. Never at the bottom, always at the top. Now, I don't know about you, but just looking back on my life, I haven't always lived like I was on the top. Sometimes I was under it, amen? And maybe you've been there too. But you don't have to stay under it, because God has something better for you. He's got a covenant, and he's a covenant-keeping God. So Jesus is the mediator of that new covenant. It's a new covenant, and it's a better covenant. For example, let's look at verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 8 that I just read. And I read starting with verse 7, but let's look at verse 6. It says, "But now he obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises." So I want to look at that primarily today, as we close off this message. So first of all, what is similar between the old covenant and the new covenant? Well, the first thing is that there are conditions that need to be met in order to enter into the new covenant. What are the conditions? The conditions are, come to God through Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "All those that come to me, I will not cast out. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved." Those who believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus will be saved. So coming to Jesus, you become the righteousness of God through him. You have right standing with God through him. So that activates covenant rights for you. Those are the requirements, the conditions to be met for entering into the new covenant. Also, similar to the old covenant, there are blessings. But the blessings that you get in the new covenant are not just for here and now, they're also for hereafter. Because the new covenant blessings make a way for you to spend forever with the one who created you and to know Jesus face to face. The Bible says he's coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to take up the church, those who are still living, and those who have died before us that believed in him and that have come to him will be raised from the dead, and we'll be united with them, together with them, with the Lord forever. So it's amazing the blessings of the new covenant. That's one of the ways that it's similar, but still better. Okay, so what's new in this covenant? The first thing is, verse 10 says, I will put my laws on their mind. So when you come to Jesus, you have the opportunity to be filled with his Spirit. And through the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you have access to things that the Old Testament people, the Old Covenant people, did not have. Because the Spirit of God could come on them and then lift from them and then come on them and lift from them. But the Bible says that when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to you, he would never leave you. He would never forsake you. So you can boldly say, I'll not be afraid of what man shall say or do, because the Lord is my helper. Why? Because he's living in you. The Holy Spirit has come inside of you in an awesome, miraculous way and reveals the truth of God, brings to remembrance the things that Jesus has taught, and a whole host of other things that he does, comforts you, strengthens you, encourages you. The Holy Spirit is your helper, your guide, your leader, and your ever-present manifestation of Jesus in your life. He's all of that and more. It's hard to describe exactly everything that the Holy Spirit has and will do for you, but that's part of the new covenant, and you have access to that through Jesus. What else is new? Well, the new covenant, it says people will know him in verse 11. Know him, what does that mean, know him? That means that they'll be in relationship with him in a different way, in a more awesome way than the old covenant people could be. You know, when they sinned in the Old Testament, they had to have a sacrifice for the sin, but already our sins have been put on Jesus at the cross. We don't have to take another sacrifice for sin. So we have a different kind of relationship with God through Jesus Christ than any of the old covenant people. Interestingly, also, there's no mention of any curses with the new covenant. In Deuteronomy 28, there are curses for disobedience. There's like from verse 14 to, what is it, verse 65 or something like that. I mean, there are tons and tons and tons of curses. Every kind of terrible thing that you could imagine would come on those who were breaking the covenant. But there's no mention of curses in the new covenant, the one that's established on better promises. I don't think it's just a meaningless omission. I think it was purposeful, because the Bible says that God laid all those curses on Jesus, and he redeemed us from the curse of the law. So for the believer, there's blessings in the covenant, but no curses. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't that make it a better covenant? Wouldn't that make it a better covenant established on better promises? Praise the Lord. So understanding those things helps you to walk from underneath, because there's a lot of religious things that can happen to people. You can get a lot of religious ideas, you know, about God punishing you, about him holding things against you, about, you know, I just can't walk into freedom because, and, you know, we give, it's basically excuses. But yet God has all of this for us and more, if we'll just believe him and trust in him, put our faith in him, put our trust in Jesus, that he took all of those things that we don't need to carry. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that the kind of covenant you would want? I mean, you know, we still are in our frail human frame, and so we're subject to the world around us and to the attacks of Satan and all of his demon forces that are loose in the world. I guess you can see that they're loose in the world, right? There's lots of stuff going on out there. And all the things that are available to take people out and take them down, take them off the track, to take them out of the path of righteousness. So we have that human frailty, but yet the Bible says that within these frail clay pots, clay vessels, he pours in his spirit and he makes a home. I mean, it's hard to understand why God would even want to do that. Why would he want to live in my temple? But the Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says that we collectively as a group, as church, are temples for the living God. He's desiring a place of relationship that's deeper and better than any kind of friendship or any kind of relationship we could experience on the face of the earth. And you can have that relationship. You personally can have that relationship with him. That's part of the better covenant. So verse 12 says, for I will be well, first of all, in a new covenant, there's remission of sins, not just covering it for 1 year. You know, like in the old covenant, they had to do the sacrifice and send the scapegoat out into the desert with the sins of the people. You know, every year, the high priest did that. And then in between, they did sin offerings. You know, you sin, you bring an offering. You sin, you bring an offering. You sin, you bring an offering. You sin and bring an offering. But the Bible says that when you come to Jesus, there's a remission of sins. In other words, they're not covered over. They're gone. They're as if they had never existed. He takes them out of circulation, so to speak. Verse 12 says in Hebrews, back to Hebrews chapter 8, it says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Now, God doesn't have amnesia. So, I mean, he's got a good memory, right? So, you know that he can, he could remember them and he could hold them against you, but he's chosen not to remember them and not to hold them against you. Because that's the kind of God he is, and that's the kind of covenant that you've entered into with him under this new covenant. This is really huge. Okay, so it's a new covenant established on better promises. So what is better about this? Well, the first thing that's better is we have a special high priest. His name is Jesus, right? We don't have to go to the Old Testament high priest in order to get our sins forgiven or to make an offering to God. We can come to Jesus, the high priest of heaven. Amen? So verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 8 says, we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. And then the second thing is it says that he's the minister of the sanctuary. Verse 2 says, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. So where is this new tabernacle, this new sanctuary made by God? Well, if we look to some other scriptures, just to clarify that, in 1 Peter 2, verse 4, it says that, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So, as the body of Christ, we're built together as living stones to make a tabernacle for God. So, Jesus is the minister of that new tabernacle. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. Amen? When you made Jesus Lord, he became minister of the new tabernacle of the collective body of Christ. Further, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. So your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. So not only collectively are we a spiritual house, a tabernacle for God, individually our body is a temple for the Holy Spirit to live in, and Jesus is the minister of that sanctuary. He's the minister of that tabernacle. And if we always kept that in view, we probably would do a lot of things differently, wouldn't we? Our relationships with people, our relationships with each other, our habits, our desires, our all of the things that our plans, our schemes, all of those would be changed because we'd be recognizing Jesus is the minister of this tabernacle. He's the minister of this sanctuary. And that changes how you look at everything. Changes how you look at everything in life. Praise the Lord. So, what is better? Year after year, month after month, day after day. In the old covenant, the priest had to make sacrifices for sin. But in the new covenant, it's this way. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 says, every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies would be made his footstool. So Jesus did it once and for all. It's new, it's better, it's awesome, it's wonderful. It's the covenant that you have with God through Jesus Christ. Okay, so what do we take away from this? Well, we can go back to what we decided last week. The things that remain the same between the new, you will always be on the top and never on the bottom. Take it home. Take it to the bank. Jesus has put you on the top through the covenant blessing that he has made available to you by faith in him, by trusting in him, by accepting him, and by walking with him. So now you are the body of Christ and he is the head. So if you remember that, it'll change how you conduct your life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, but God is so rich in mercy, he loved us so much that even though we were dead in our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, for he was raised from the dead along with Christ. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So Jesus has put you in a place of authority with him at the right hand of God. That's part of your new covenant. God is faithful. He just wants your heart. But he wants all of it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So in a moment, Sarah is going to come and lead our monthly memorial of the new covenant of Holy Communion. The covenant is talking about when it says, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. So let's just pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for that new covenant that you've given to us. Thank you that Jesus paid the price and that he is forever seated with you at the right hand, seated in authority, and that he has delegated that authority to your people. Thank you, Father God, for everything that you've done for us when Jesus went to the cross. Thank you for the blood that he shed for us, in which we have remission of sins. Thank you, Father God, for healing, deliverance, and blessing in his name. As we receive communion today, Lord, help us to take a hold of all the blessing that covenant provides for us, Lord, in this covenant rite. And make us to help us to walk by your Holy Spirit, to be led by your Spirit and be called your children, to walk in your Spirit and put to death the desires of the flesh, Lord, and to be the believer, to be the follower, the disciple of Jesus that you have called us to be. For we ask it, Father, today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.